is Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is a special episode of the Baseball Tonight podcast, Thursday, January 16, 2020. I'm Buster Olney and producing the podcast back in Bristol, Taylor Schwenk. We got the news about 1 o'clock today that yet another person tied to the Houston Astros cheating scandal has lost his job. Carlos Beltran, recently hired by the Mets to be their next manager, is out of his job before even having a meeting in spring training. That's because he was named in the commissioner's report released the other day for his role in the Astros sign-stealing scandal of 2017. Beltran and the Mets both indicated today that this was a mutual decision, but I suspect that a week or 2 weeks ago, even those with knowledge of the sign-stealing details from 2017 believe that Houston GM Jeff Luhnow, Astros manager A.J. Hinch, Red Sox manager Alex Cora, and now Carlos Beltran would still have their jobs, and they're all out, and that's where we are. Marley Rivera covers baseball for ESPN. She knows Carlos Beltran and Alex Cora very well. Marley, how you doing? It's been a crazy week.
I think crazy is a very good adjective, Buster, especially the fact, you know, that two Puerto Rican managers who are highly touted don't have a job today.
Unbelievable. Let's start with Carlos Beltran. That is the most recent news. I'm going to also ask you about Alex Cora as we go forward. But first about Carlos, I thought that when the Mets didn't put out a statement immediately on Monday evening after the commissioner's report came out, the fact that the Mets didn't come out right away and have a statement from Jeff Wilpon, from Brody Van Wagenen saying, this is our guy. Carlos Beltran is our manager. And that's what we're going to do moving forward, because what was in the report involved the Houston Astros in 2017. The commissioners made it clear that Carlos is not going to be disciplined for his role in that because he's a player at that time. But the fact that they didn't put out that statement on Monday, and then it dragged out into Tuesday and then Wednesday, you could just see that the Mets, they were weighing their options. And just as someone who, you know, covered the Mets back in 1997, I worked in the New York market for a long time. I've never seen an organization that is more affected by public opinion than the Mets. And I thought, at some point they're going to let him go. What did you think?
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more with what you said. And not only that, the fact that, you know, one of the reasons why they hired Beltran was because it was excellent publicity. And as you and I know, spending so much time covering baseball in New York, the Mets have failed many times on the PR department. And this, you know, with the hiring of Carlos Beltran, they bought themselves all this goodwill, right? The return of the prodigal son with everything that had happened when he had left, the comments of the Wilpons when he used to be a, you know, a Mets player, everything gets kind of water under the bridge. There's just, you know, one of the most impressive press conferences that I have attended, you know, at Citi Field. So it was just this big PR moment. And then all of a sudden, I agree with you, they got swayed by public opinion. And one of the things that Carlos Beltran, and as you mentioned before, which is important to state, the Beltran family are friends of mine. So my objectivity here sometimes can be a little bit swayed. But the point is that Carlos can handle the media. He's been, you know, he was a player for 20 years. He worked, you know, on a capacity as an assistant with the Yankees and so on. And I feel that this was, in my opinion, definitely a Wilpon's decision, Buster.
Oh, no question. You know, the way this was described, I think Carlos put out a statement. They talked about a mutual decision. No way. Like, this is
no
not like Carlos, I think absolutely was set on going forward. But they say as all the conversation was taking place in New York, the columnists were taking aim at this and they're asking questions. Well, what did the Mets ask Carlos about after the first Athletic story came out about the sign stealing? And how would the Mets feel about, you know, Carlos not having credibility with the media? And it became a real hot topic on talk radio here. And once that ball started rolling downhill, and then A.J. Hinch lost his job and Jeff Luhnow lost his job and Alex Cora lost his job, there was no way the Mets leadership was going to stand in the way of that momentum and stand up and say, you know, what was in the past was in the past, which, by the way, is what Brody Van Wagenen said back in November. He kind of indicated like, well, that's not really a Mets problem. That's an Astros problem. But their words, their tone definitely changed this week.
The only aspect that I can, you know, add to this, obviously, because of, you know, the way that things have gone in this process, one of the things where Carlos may have had some input to try to be a devil's advocate here is that one of the things that Carlos Beltran and you and I have covered a great deal of his career is the fact that he does not like off-the-field distractions, Buster. And I do think that that is the part where Beltran goes, you know what? This is the right decision. He is one of those guys that likes to talk baseball. I remember when it was like the whole scandal with A-Rod in the Yankees. Carlos Beltran was part of the Yankees organization at the time as a player, and he would refuse to engage in sort of those conversations. So there is an aspect of how much he doesn't like the distraction, and then that part, certainly, you know, he could have had any input on. But I agree with you. This isn't, you know, the Mets found themselves in an island having to make a decision, and they got swayed by what Jim Crane did. And obviously, you know, what the Boston Red Sox decided to do after the imposition of a penalty, you know, of the suspension to Alex Cora.
So let's break down
some
other
elements
of this.
We don't know how long it's going to be, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. Break down some other elements of this. What do you think the Mets miss out on not having Carlos Beltran as their manager?
Carlos Beltran is an excellent leader. And I think that's one of those things that has been a little bit missing in the New York Mets organization. He drives you. He's one of those guys that really inspires other players. And he also galvanizes clubhouses, right? He was the player rep for the MLBPA when he was with the Yankees, you know, along with Andrew Miller. He always has always been so well-spoken, and he crosses that kind of, you know, barrier, quote-unquote, between the Latino players and the, you know, the players that are not Latino. And I felt that he could galvanize that clubhouse very, very well. And I think that's the number one thing that the Mets are going to miss out on. And this is a man who obviously has loved the game for a long time, doesn't need the money, Buster, this isn't, right? And it was honestly doing this job because he truly wanted to make an impact in an organization that really has lost their way a little bit in the last couple of years. So I think it's a huge loss for the Mets organization to not have Carlos Beltran. But I do understand the decision in terms of the whole, quote unquote, distractions off the field.
Now, I'm not as close to him as you are. If I was, I think, and he asked me my advice in this situation, now that he's lost his job with the Mets, what I think I would tell him was, Carlos, you need to hold a press conference in New York. You know, you need to, you know, have it rent out a room at a hotel or a restaurant and invite all the reporters to come and basically say, I am here to answer all your questions about what went on with Houston with me back in 2017. Because I think that's the only way he's going to be able to manage at some point down the road. And all I've heard for the last decade is this is someone who absolutely would be a terrific manager in the future.
Yes.
He'd be great at this job. But I think that would allow him to, and let's face it, he's never going to move past this. It's already cost him his job. But at least to get past those questions would be to tell the writers, I'm here to answer every question you people have about what took place, and I'll tell you exactly what happened. What do you think about that?
I don't know that it's, I mean, I would love for that to happen. Let's be very clear. I don't know that the benefit for Carlos is worth it. If one of the jobs, and he said this in his introductory press conference, he specifically said, I didn't want any job. I don't need a job. I wanted to stay in New York. Carlos has very, very young children. They're all right. Like very, he has three kids. They're all very young. They're in school in New York. This is where they reside. This is where the kids go to school. So there's only two baseball jobs that he would apply for, the New York Yankees and the New York Mets. And he's not going to get either one of those jobs. So I just don't think that at this point it benefits the family in any way. And I do think that Carlos will do what's best for his family, especially having young children, Buster. And I know, you know, that you had young children at one time. It's the point that these kids have to see the paper tomorrow. They're going to be in school. They're old enough, you know, and I feel like it would rehash a lot of topics that right now maybe people are going to move on, you know, and just move on from that. Now, if he later on, when his kids are a little bit older, he wants to do something else, then maybe at that point. But at this point, I just don't see the benefit to Carlos Beltran.
Boy, yeah, and I mean, I would counter that by saying, I remember when CC Sabathia went into rehab, how he basically put out a statement saying, look, I'm not only doing it for me, I'm doing it for my kids. In other words, I'm going to show my kids that I'm going to be open and honest, and I'm going to talk about, you know, what my situation is. And I feel like that would be a good thing for Carlos just to be able to turn this page, because otherwise, you know, every time he would show up at a ballpark as a visitor, or if he, you know, was hanging out at an event someplace, you know, knuckleheads like me would come up and we'd all be asking, okay, what really happened back in 2017?
Yes, you're right. It's a very good counterpoint. I just think that at this point, the Beltran family would be better served. And also, Carlos, there's been a lot of talk online and ever since the Astros organization happened of, you know, crossing the thin blue line, right? And what players are opening some sort of Pandora's box by having this conversation. I do think that Carlos is that guy, too, who doesn't, quote unquote, throw other players under the bus. I don't know. I'm saying that that's not, you know, not that I agree with that or not. I actually believe that whistleblowers are important. And I do admire Mike Fiers for standing up and doing what he did. So let's just be very clear. But I just don't see Carlos being that guy. He's always been very reserved, very pro player, right? Like a pro player. And I think a press conference like that and addressing, you know, details of the Astros, you know, obvious sign stealing investigation would not go against, you know, would go against who he is.
All right. The other day when this began to gather momentum and it began to look like the Mets would let Beltran go, I saw some tweets out from some reporters, terrific reporters, saying this would be the most Metsian thing ever, that Carlos Beltran would be let go as manager before he actually managed the game. And I wrote a column on ESPN.com today where I wrote that I feel like the Mets actually got very lucky with the way this played out. And to make this clear, you know, knowing that the Mets had made the decision that they were going to let Carlos go, to me, the timing could not have been better for them. Like, this is in the off season. You still have a month to go. Some of the other candidates that you might have considered last fall are still available. Our colleague here at ESPN, Eduardo Perez, someone they could
Luis
call
Rojas
up.
Luis Rojas is available. Hensley Mullins.
Luis Rojas. Right. You know, Buck Showalter would be someone. And this is before the manager is in place. Can you imagine if this all spilled out, say, in mid-April and the Mets record was 10-2? How complicated that would all be for the Mets and what a mess that would be. So I really feel like that, that would be an issue. And the other thing too is that I remember when Carlos was hired, and again, people around the sport have such regard for him, but there was a lot of surprise that the Mets didn't hire someone with more experience after the 2 years with Mickey Callaway, when Mickey's inexperience, came to the forefront. And in 2020, it looks like the Mets could have a really good team. Excellent rotation. You know, the lineup is much more settled than it's been in recent years. Pete Alonso anchoring in the middle. Michael Conforto, Jeff McNeil. I really feel like that Edwin Diaz would be the number one candidate for a bounce back year. They got Dellin Betances. This could be a really good team, which is why last fall when Carlos was hired, a lot of folks with other teams are like, wow, you got a win now team and you're going to put that in the hands of another rookie manager. That was a surprise, and now they have an opportunity to do a do-over. And I actually feel like that, in some respects, the timing worked out well for the Mets.
Yeah, they got very lucky, as you mentioned at the beginning, especially, and obviously this is a lot to do with the MLB investigation, too. I'm sure MLB, you know, went through this process very thoroughly, but at the same time, very aware that we are 3 weeks from spring training, right? So there isn't, you know, so I am sure that MLB also tried to be expeditious about this process and informing the clubs of what was going to happen as soon enough so they have time. And as you mentioned, a lot of experienced managers out there are still available. I do think that Hensley Mullins would be a great hire because he has a lot of those qualities that Carlos Beltran has, being bilingual, being able to, you know, cross, you know, kind of being very, kind of like a great player manager, that kind of guy, and very well spoken and excellent with the media. So that would be, but I wouldn't blame the Mets for going with someone a lot of experience, with a Dusty Baker, perhaps, or a Buck Showalter, perhaps. And that'll be really interesting to see where they go. But definitely, did they get lucky and helped out by the fact that the investigation got, you know, the results of the investigation got announced this week? Absolutely. There is plenty of time. There's a lot of work that Carlos was doing in the last couple of months. I think almost the Boston Red Sox have a harder time, and so do the Houston Astros. They will have a harder time if they don't do an inside organization hire, because those managers were there for a very long time. Without Carlos not having managed, you know, just having a couple of months of talking to players, they can plug and play, like you mentioned, with such a talented team and experienced MLB manager. The Houston Astros and the Boston Red Sox are going to have some issues.
And just to follow up on Hensley Mullins, it's interesting when I talk about a rookie manager that Carlos, he would have been that. I don't really look at Hensley as being a rookie manager.
I know.
Because he's been in that role before. I know he hasn't been a big league manager, but this is someone who's led teams in the past.
Absolutely, and he has been, as we know, the right hand for Bruce Bochy for for future Hall of Famer Bruce Bochy for such a long time. I actually wanted to Hensley and I have a really good relationship. I wanted to text him and go, "Hey, Bam Bam, you want to convince Boch to come over to the Mets, and you guys can do it again." But so I think it's going to be interesting. And you're right; he is one of those guys that the lack of experience almost doesn't faze him. I feel the same way about Joe Espada, who's been in everyone's everyone's mouth, like for a couple of years, especially when he was, an assistant to Brian Cashman with the New York Yankees, then moving on to third base coach, then moving on to bench coach and being with the Astros. I'm a little bit surprised that Jim Crane didn't go straight and gave the job to Joe Espada. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens from now on. And Buster, I mean, it's amazing how the Mets did the unthinkable hire, right? Not the likely hire with Carlos Beltran, because it was such a good PR move. And now look where we are.
Now, I'm going to give you a conspiracy theory that's based purely on speculation, okay? If you're Brody Van Wagenen and you're looking at your managerial options, one way you could go, and again, I have nothing to indicate this is the way that he's thinking or the way that he would go, but maybe in the back of your mind, you're thinking, you know what? I'll get a short timer, like a manager I know. I probably would move on after 1 year because my old college roommate, AJ Hinch, is going to be available a year from now when he serves a suspension. What do you think?
I have to say I'm a fan of that conspiracy theory. I think as long as it doesn't affect, people like the great Hensley Mullins, right? Like, we don't want him to be, but I can see what you mean. It's like, you're going to get this kind of, this team prep. It kind of reminds me of the New Orleans Saints, right? Like a bounty gate. Obviously it's a little bit different because he was there and then, he gets suspended and comes back. But it is one of those moments when you're like, you know what? This could be a very good decision. It's almost like at one point, some of these really young managers were really sought after and other teams, quote unquote, missed out on them. It is that time, right? No one knew. AJ Hinch seemed to be that he was going to be at the Astros forever. It was the joke that maybe he would get traded, right? That was a big conspiracy theory for him to get traded to the Mets as a manager for Brody. I can totally see that, Buster. And I know you have no basis except speculation, but I like it.
All right, we got about 5 minutes left. I want to ask you about Alex Cora, and I worked with Alex at ESPN. I consider him to be a friend, and I told Mina Kimes on her podcast when we taped on Wednesday that seeing what's happening with Alex, and look, he's absolutely responsible for the position that he's in right now with his actions, but seeing him in this position makes me unbelievably sad. For him, you're concerned about he and his family and moving forward and that sort of thing. But on top of that, it reminded me of reading the way that players from the 19-teens and 1920s talked about Shoeless Joe Jackson. Like, they spoke about him, wow, so wistfully about, this guy was an unbelievable player. And this is one, even Ty Cobb said this is one of the greatest players that he ever saw. But of course, after he was banned from baseball, after participating in the Black Sox scandal in the 1919 World Series, baseball didn't have that great talent again. I think Alex Cora is as talented a manager as I've ever seen. And as we sit here today, I don't know if he's going to manage in the big leagues again because of how this played out. What do you think?
I think that Alex, and as you know too, for the record, he is also a friend. It is a very sad day in general. Especially, and like you said, Buster, actions have consequences and we're adults and we have to assume the consequences of our actions. And these are the consequences of the actions that all of these people who have gotten in the fallout of the Houston Astros of what they decided to do, right? They did not measure what the possible consequences could be. That being said, it is a very sad day when someone that talented, and what I've heard from a lot of baseball people in the last couple of days who didn't need to do that, his level of talent is to that level, didn't need kind of, just the sadness of losing a mind like that. And not only that, always being labeled a cheater, right? It's the same thing. I had the opportunity to speak at the MLB rookie program in Florida to a lot of the young kids on the rookies, obviously, to be redundant, on the 40-man rosters. And one of the things that we talked about was like actions having consequences, especially after the Brandon Tobman situation. This is obviously before all this fallout from the investigation. And one of the things that I mentioned to them is one of the kindest and more talented players that I've ever met is Josh Hader. And from now on, the word racist will always be attached to Josh Hader because of the actions. And that is sad because this is a man, right, who's just way above that. It's the same thing that will happen to Alex Cora. The word cheater is always going to be attached to him, and that's what's sad. It's a very, very sad day. We had I have a picture which we got during the MLB winter meetings back in San Diego when we were there. And one of the things was it was four Puerto Rican managers, right? Dave Martinez, Charlie Montoyo, Alex Cora, and Carlos Beltran. This great moment. Two of those managers no longer have a job because of their involvement in the Houston Astros sign-stealing scandal. And it means that we are missing that diversity too. And I think that that's also very sad for Major League Baseball, right? Not having this talent and this diversity. So sad is a perfect word for a day like today.
Yeah, and I've thought about this too, is that, boy, there's so many smart people on that Astros team from 2017. A.J. Hinch, incredibly bright guy. Alex, as I say, unbelievably talented. The players, you know, experienced, smart, guys like Carlos Beltran, Brian McCann, Alex Bregman, Jose Altuve, Carlos Correa, yeah, on down the line. And I'm still surprised that at some point somebody didn't step up and say, guys, we're risking a lot here. Like, we're counting on this secret being held by 50 people in our traveling party. Maybe this isn't a good idea. Because I do feel like as the Astros move forward, every time they go into a visiting park, those guys are going to get an earful. And you know what? It's the truth. What fans are going to be yelling at them angrily is going to be the truth. And there's some guys, and I don't want to get into specific names, but I feel like with some of the players, it's just going to brush off their shoulders, say not a big deal. Other players on that team, I think, are going to be really hurt by that.
Yes, and Buster, you also specified the fact that, you know, before, and I said it too, you know, this is the result of their actions. So whatever happens in opposing ballparks and so on,
yep,
they deserve it and so on. But with that level of talent, it's really unfortunate. It was something that they didn't need to do. Why did they do it? Because they can. That's it. Because they could. That's why they do it. Because every team, and I will go on the record on this, every team has like some way of sign stealing. Right? There's not some sort of elaborate scheme the way that the Astros have been found out to have had. But there is. So there's a lot of the players counting on no one opening that Pandora's box. Right? No one saying, well, we're not, no one is going to say anything about us, and no one here is going to say anything, because then you're opening up the door to have that conversation about other teams doing the same. Right? They counted too much on that. And like you said, over 50 people, I think we're kind of, you know, it's probably being limited in that conversation, that it's only 50 people. Just this widespread cheating scandal is really sad. And one of the things that also happens, and I'm very much against this, like I hate the whole, oh, because of this sign stealing scandal, they stole the World Series. You know what I mean? Because I'll say it to anyone, the Los Angeles Dodgers lost Game 7 in their home field, right? So let's just be very clear. You know, technically, supposedly the Astros couldn't really, you know, steal signs in opposing fields. So the fact that their World Series, their well-deserved World Series win is going to be tainted, I can't even imagine. I mean, we're going to hear some boos. It's going to be like A-Rod playing in Boston. Bad.
Yeah, and speaking of that, that's so funny you mentioned that, because you led right into my next question. You
look,
remember when Ryan Dempster hit Alex Rodriguez? And it was his response at that time was to Alex being suspended in baseball and Alex's actions. Let me make a prediction right now. I think the Houston Astros are going to lead the big leagues in hit by pitches next year, because I've heard a lot at the team level where people are furious about them. And I don't know if you saw this tweet from the Indians, Mike Clevinger, this afternoon.
Yes.
And just to be clear, this was not specific, and everyone believes we know what he's talking about, but he wasn't absolutely specific about it. The words that he sent out in a tweet, they shouldn't feel comfortable looking at any of us in the eye, let alone on the field, and any other MLB player feel different. They can get it too. And what that is being read, interpreted by people around baseball, is Mike Clevinger basically saying, you know what? The Astros player shouldn't be looking anybody in the eye. And if they do, You know, they might get something with a baseball. You know, they might get it some chin music. That's how it's being interpreted. That wouldn't surprise me next year because there is a lot of anger out there.
Yeah, there definitely is. I'm going to go and, you know, on a limb and agree with you. But also at the same time, the Astros are a great fastball hitting team and always crowd the plate. So maybe that will also be a reason for a little chin music. But absolutely. I mean, this is it's almost, you remember that Michael Pineda case, you know, with the pine tar in his neck. One of the things that we always say, everyone uses the pine tar. Don't be so obvious about it. Right? Like, that's just what it is. On a cold day in Boston, you need a little pine tar to get that grip on that fastball. Everyone does it. Everyone does it. Don't even freaking tell me that no one does. Just don't be that obvious. That's what everyone is going to think across baseball about the Houston Astros. We all do it. Why were you that obvious? And not only that, with a scheme that was so organized. And absolutely, and I already, you know, I'm already on the record with the whole they should vacate their World Series championship. I think that's all bull, and I don't agree with that and all that statement. But there's a legitimate beef, you know, for the Los Angeles Dodgers, maybe for the New York Yankees. I don't know. But at the same time, this is going to be interesting to watch opening day, Buster, with the Houston Astros and see. They're going to lead the league. I agree.
All right, Marley. Thanks for doing this. Really interesting time in baseball, that's for sure.
Well, I like what you called it, the Wild Wild West.
And that's it for today. Thanks for listening to this special edition of the Baseball Tonight podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, don't forget to listen to the Fantasy Focus podcast. Check out all podcasts at ESPN.com/podcenter. Baseball Tonight, the podcast.